The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. On the second half of our show, we'll have some music from faculty members at the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana. They're giving a benefit recital Sunday afternoon, along with a silent auction fundraising aspect to that event as well. We've got some of the players with us on the show. And then the first part will be some actors from the Rantoul Theater Group presenting their current production called The Trouble with Cats, opening this weekend. And we'll be hearing some scenes from that. It's live and local on FM 90.9.
There's a man over there with a look of surprise, as much as to say, well, now, how about that? Do I act?
Hey, 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 hey,
And that was a segment from the musical Cats, this called The Naming of Cats, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9 by way of introduction to The Trouble with Cats, which is a play called by Gary Ray Stapp, and it opens on the 11th, on Friday, at put on by the Rantoul Theater Group, runs through the 20th with evening performances Friday, Saturday at 8 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And we have with us various actors from the show, including the director as well. Excuse me. And she is Patty Beerley.
Yes.
Is that how you say your name?
Yes.
And you brought along your assistant director as well, Stacy
Brassy.
Brassy. Thank you very much. Why don't you, Patty, tell us about this show, Trouble with Cats. I seem to have heard the name, but I don't know anything about it other than the little blurb I read online. So you'll probably do a better job of telling it than I will.
Okay. Well, it starts out in a Minnesota house. It's on a lake, and the lady and man that live there originally, they like to take vacations. So, and to ensure that they would be able to take this vacation, they went ahead and hired two different house sitters, sets of house sitters from housesitters.com. They didn't care if they both showed up as long as somebody showed up so they could get out of the house. Okay, the first set gets there and they're gone. Little do they know that they both showed up, and then we have two couples in the house. We have a construction crew of three women that are in the house working on the master bedroom. And we also have the nosy neighbors from next door coming over all the time, not to mention a amnesiac neighbor from the neighborhood who keeps coming in thinking it's her house. And there's an elusive PJ running loose that they need to feed, and we just don't know what a PJ is.
Do we presume it's a cat?
We presume it's a cat because they haven't found it, so it has to be a cat.
You hope.
We hope.
They hope.
They hope.
And hence the title?
Hence the title, The Trouble with Cats.
Cats plural.
Yes.
So PJ could be more than one cat.
Could be.
Do we ever find out, or is that giving too much away?
We do find out. Yes, we do. But you'd have to see the show to find that out.
So what are some of the antics that ensue? I mean, I can imagine various things.
Oh, there's all kinds of things, from one-on-one with a clashing of the two different types of house sitters. One of them is a upper-class couple, and the other one is down home, and they're just, you know, like the hippie type people that only need one name, and they've picked that for themselves.
Hippie vegans?
Yes, the hippie vegans.
And then the Cheshires are?
The Cheshires are actually four sisters who are a construction crew that are redoing the master bedroom.
And is there any pun there going on, as in Cheshire Cats, by any chance?
Well, yeah, there might be. They tend to get a little catty, too, so it's kind of just a whole cat thing going on with this play.
And who have we got with us? It looks like we've got one of the older couple, the uppity couple.
We have the uppity couple, which is Ivy and Philip Julian, played by Randy Offner and Tina Killeen.
And they're looking affectionately at each other right now. Last time I saw you, Randy, you were Dracula?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did that show go over, by the way?
Oh, it went great. I had a lot of great participation and good audiences.
And lots of good makeup, I'm sure, for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the character of River, I assume this is one of the vegan hippie
He's people? Actually a vegan in transition. His wife is a vegan, and he's learning to be a vegan.
Played by Kevin Blanford is with us. And then one of the neighbors, is not going to be here. Tim Kirby couldn't make it. So we have one of the Cheshire non-cats.
Yes.
Cynthia McIntyre as Mitzi Cheshire. I understand you added some Cheshires to
I
the
did.
Script?
I added an extra Cheshire, which was Lulu.
Because?
Well, Rantel Theater Group is kind of like a family group, and anybody that really wants to act, we kind of try to make a space for them. And you don't have to be professional. We just want you to come and act with us. And I had to add in people, and with the writer's permission, of course, we've added in a few people.
So did you have to add lines, or did you just give somebody's line to somebody else?
No, I actually had to add lines.
Oh, then you really would have had this. Needed the playwright's permission, I'm guessing.
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, so you must have written well.
He actually likes it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Good. Maybe if it shows up in a subsequent performance, you have to get credit.
That's
and
okay.
Royalties.
I'll let him have it.
And royalties. All right. Well, I understand you brought a few scenes, so why don't we hear the first one? Who wants to set that up for us?
Okay. This is a scene where Sunshine has just gotten ill because she found out that there was some meat cooking in the stove in the kitchen, and she actually called it a pig cadaver, so she has to exit and go to the bathroom because she's ill.
And so she's the already transitioned vegan.
She's the yeah, total vegan,
blown,
yes.
Total vegan. Right.
Yes.
What is it with the color references?
They're the colors that correlate with our chakras.
Chakras?
Yeah, you know, the spinning whorls of energy that permeate from the layers of our physical bodies and function to keep our spiritual, mental, and emotional health in balance.
Okay.
And what made her ill?
And the suggestion of meat. The consumption of animal flesh grosses her out. Not only that, she's allergic to animal proteins. Well, she's allergic to a lot of things, but chocolate is the worst. It's actually life-threatening to Sunshine.
Oh, the poor girl.
Yeah, and I love chocolate, but I had to give it up. You see, chocolate also happens to be one of the four C's that we avoid for the physical health of our earthly vessel.
The four C's?
No chocolate, caffeine, carbonation, or chemicals.
See no evil, speak no evil, eat no evil, have no fun.
It's just a matter of self-discipline. But I have to admit, sometimes I really get a craving.
I'm sure it's not easy.
I couldn't do it. Not giving up my coffee or doing the vegetarian thing.
Actually, Sunshine is a vegan.
A vegan? Is that like a Vulcan? Is she related to Spock?
No, she's not related to Spock, wise guy. She's a New Age spiritualist who happens to be a very beautiful human being who chooses not to perpetuate her life at the expense of exploiting other living creatures. Her diet is the basis of that spirituality.
Well, I assume you're a vegan, too?
Not exactly. I'm, like, in transition. I have to have a bowl of ice cream once in a while. Comes at a high price, though. Sunshine won't even sleep with me for 3 days afterwards.
Ice cream is not a meat.
Really? But ice cream is made of milk. Vegans do not consume any kind of animal product. I've been able to give up meat, but I'm struggling to give up my dairy.
Well, Mr. River, we just arrived here ourselves.
It's just River, no mister.
Oh, okay, River. I'm sure, though, that there's plenty of things that Sunshine... And you can eat. I hope. I'll go into the kitchen and see what I can come up with. Would a salad be okay?
Perfect.
Philip, why don't you help River with the rest of their luggage?
Why don't I just take a bottle of Valium and wake up in a month?
Philip, don't worry about it. There isn't any more luggage. This is all we have.
These two bags, that's all you brought?
That's all we need. We're pretty simple people.
Apparently.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Well, at least we're not shopaholic clones, wallowing in the gluttony of needless things that make you look foolish just for the one of them. So insecure in the perception that who you are is what you own, you pitifully don't even realize you're living a fake existence that I, for one, find pathetically amusing.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Too many big words?
Are you implying that I'm materialistic?
I'm not implying. What is. I'm just making an observation. The BMW with the jersey plates, the designer clothes, an imitation Rolex, pompous attitude.
You're pretty full of yourself, aren't you? Here we've only known each other for, 5 minutes, and you seem to be making a determined effort to make sure I don't like you.
I don't care whether you like me or not. I don't live my life worrying about things I have no control over. I live to seek out and harmonize with my inner light. That's where I'm at peace. That's how I am. Take it or leave it.
I get it now. I get it. You're just a punk rebel blaming the woes of society on my generation. Let me guess. You're a victim of an abusive father, and I'm a perfect proxy for your frustrations.
Whatever. You're no psychoanalyst, that's for sure. But you are boring, I'll give you that. Which, by the way, has made me tired. I need to stretch out for a bit and repolarize the energy of my spirit body.
You mean you're actually staying here?
Why wouldn't I?
Okay, well, just so you know, there's only one bedroom.
One bedroom in this big house?
No, actually, there are three. All very large rooms, but that one in there is unlivable due to remodeling, and the second bedroom upstairs is unlivable because, well, trust me, you wouldn't want your dog to sleep in there.
And what about the third one?
It's mine.
Well, looks like right here it is then. But I got a question for you.
What?
You look to be a pajama kind of guy, am I right?
Yeah, so?
So, here's a heads up for you. Sunshine and I, we sleep natural.
Natural?
Naked.
Naked?
Naked.
Even, you mean, out here in the living room, you're going to sleep?
Naked!
Perfect.
And I gather that comes right towards the beginning of things and gets it all set up. Philip Julian was played here by Randy Offner. Ivy Julian by Tina Killeen, right? And River by Kevin Blandford from the Ransell Theater Group's production of The Trouble with Cats, which opens on Friday at, where are you playing these days?
Grissom Hall in Rantoul.
In Grissom. I thought I heard at one point that that was going to be closed, or did that not happen?
Well, it's not going to be so far. We have another year there that we know for sure. So we have a year's worth of scheduling.
Well, then I do hope they keep it open for you at least that long.
I do, too.
Patty Beerley is the director for the production. You're hearing live and listening to Live and Local right now. Assistant director is Stacey Brassey. Stacey, why don't you introduce the next scene for us?
The next scene is Mitzi and Philip. This is where Mitzi comes in and introduces herself to the house sitters.
And Mitzi is one of the Cheshires who are cleaning things out upstairs. Is that?
She is redoing the master suite.
Right.
Yes?
Yes, what? I didn't ask nothing.
May I help you?
Maybe. I'll let you know. Ma'am.
Excuse me, where are you going?
In there.
Why?
Why not?
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Philip.
I'm Mitzi.
Well, Mitzi, may I ask why you're here?
May I ask why you're here?
Philip, I think you let a minor bird in the house.
I'm house sitting.
I'm house fixing.
What?
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 Your house fixing what?
That room, the master suite.
Oh, you're a carpenter.
You ask a lot of questions. What are you, a detective or something? Yeah, I'm a carpenter. You got a problem with that?
Well, no, it's not my house, but why work on it today?
Oh, not just today, tomorrow, and the day after that. In fact, you're going to be seeing a lot of me for a while, several weeks anyway.
You're going to be here, working on this house this month?
Yeah, most of the month anyway. I'm behind schedule.
We were told there'd be a construction crew in the house while we were staying here.
Not my problem.
Oh, surely you've got some other place to fix.
Nope, this is it. And don't call me Shirley.
You can't be serious.
I'm as serious as the contract I have on this place. I have a deadline to meet. The early worm gets the bird, don't you know?
Are you doing this all by yourself?
I couldn't make that kind of a mess all by myself. I have partners, three of them.
Oh, so I take it the guys will be here any minute, eh?
What guys?
Your partners.
My partners ain't guys. As much as I like socializing with men, I don't like working with them. I generally find that a man's sex appeal wears off pretty fast when hard work brings out the lazy, whiny, and needy qualities of his manliness. Present company excluded, I'm sure.
An all-woman construction crew. Interesting.
That would explain the mess in there. Darling, seriously, wouldn't you rather be home sewing or baking, you know, doing something more suited for your gender?
I don't know. Would you rather be upstairs soaking your swollen gonads in a bowl of ice? No, I'd love to sit and chit-chat about sexual biases in the workplace, the current state of the union, and whether the Vikings have a chance at the Super Bowl this year. But luckily, I have a job to do. Have a nice day.
Well, it's nice meeting you, Mitzi.
Yeah, really. According to the description from the playwright's site here, Mitzi has a struggle between her emotional apathy toward men and her physical desire for them. I gather that that gets ramped up as the play progresses.
Yes, she does a lot of flirting throughout the play and also a lot of man bashing. So it's been fun trying to balance those two sides of her personality.
And I won't ask how that fits in with your own
no.
attitudes, lest somebody get in trouble.
Yeah, Mitzi is very different from the way I am, so it's been a real challenge to find the character and portray her. It's been a lot of fun, too.
Cynthia McIntyre as Mitzi Cheshire. And we have one more scene, I think?
Yes.
From The Trouble with Cats. And what was that going to be?
In this scene, it's Tina and Randy again, which is Philip and Ivy Julian. And Philip has pretty much just had it. He's kind of frazzled out and about to pop a head gasket.
Are we in the first act?
We're in the later scenes of the show.
Okay. So it's just the two of them?
Just the two of them.
All right.
Oh! Philip! Philip!
Yes, Ivy, something wrong.
Yes, something's wrong. Number one, there's another dead mouse lying on the front steps. That's the fourth one. Are all the mice in the neighborhood crawling to this house to draw their last nasty little breath? I don't know what I'm complaining about. At least they're outside and dead.
Well, you better not let Sunshine hear you say that. She keeps taking the cheese and the mouse traps. I don't know if she's trying to save them or turn them into vegans. Now, what would be number two?
Number two?
Yes, you just said something was wrong and you started enumerating, beginning with the mouse.
Oh, yes. Well, how could I forget? You are.
I'm what?
You are number two. What's wrong with you, Philip?
Wrong with me? I thought you had a list.
I just found out why Nelson hasn't been over here the last few days. How could you be so rude and so insulting?
Oh, that. I don't know. He just brings it out of me. It's not my fault.
Of course it's your fault. You're capable of controlling your words and your actions. I'm so angry with you. It's all I can do right now to keep from hitting you with my shoe.
Did you know that 42% of women have tailored footwear at men?
By mocking Nelson, you are just digging a deeper hole for yourself.
Okay, I'm officially in trouble. You want to hit me with your shoe, and your hands are on your hips. You know how that scares me.
Well, you should be scared. I'm serious. But I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself.
I don't like the sound of that.
I've invited the Bombays over this evening for dinner and a game of cards. And you, Mr. Julian, will not be a jerk. You understand?
No problem. I'll be in my room. You can enjoy the Nelson Bombay show without me.
Oh, no, no, no. You're not hiding in our room. You're going to be down here socializing with the rest of us.
I don't want to.
Philip, why can't you humor your wife?
I humor you every time I sit down to a meal for which you have gone out of your way to appease the veganites. Julia Child would applaud your culinary creativity with your mushroom of the day recipes. But if I never eat another shiitake, portobello, or chanterelle, it'll be too soon. You could humor me, dear wife, by slapping a pot roast on the table tonight. And if it's still on the hoof and mooing, all the better. I'd show up for that dinner party.
Philip, why do you have so much contempt for those kids?
Because they're weird. They're from a whole other universe. All that chakra stuff. What idiot came up with that crap?
Look, I imagine that our parents felt the same way about us.
Oh, no, do not make a comparison between River and Sunshine and you and me. We may have done Woodstock, but they don't even have a last name, for crying out loud. We are normal, darling. They are exhibitionists. They're fungus munchers. They hallucinate colors. They should be tested for drugs. And shame on you for pandering to them.
Pandering?
Yes. You cook for them and clean up after them and do their laundry.
I don't do their laundry.
That's only because there's not one pair of underwear between the two. My point is, we are not house-sitting. We're babysitting. And I resent that. I love house-sitting. I normally enjoy these adventures you and I share, but I did not sign up for a month of communing with Hare Krishna poster children. I certainly didn't plan on the Twilight Zone's version of Fred and Ethel Mertz living right next door, and don't even get me started on Larry, Moe, Curly, and Shep. I've had no time to enjoy this place. I've had no peace, no quiet, no solitude, no decent meal. Oh, I miss having meat on my dinner plate, Ivy. Everything is all tofu and bean sprout, I swear. If I eat another salad, I'm going to crap the vegetable garden.
Look, Philip, this hasn't exactly been what I expected it to be either. So, we got handed a few lemons. I chose to make lemonade. What did you make? I discovered new friends. Unexpected friends. And what did you discover? I learned some very positive things about myself. What have you learned about Philip? I'll tell you what I learned about him. He's a selfish, spoiled, ungracious ass. He's nothing like the man I thought he was. Now, what I fear the most is that you're only going to get worse. I refuse to watch that happen.
Where are you going?
I'm going upstairs to pack.
Pack? Oh, no, 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 no. We are not leaving. I refuse to let Reverend Sunshine push us out of this house.
I'm leaving with you or without you.
Please, wait. Oh, okay. You win. I'll do whatever you want. Just stay, please.
Whatever I want?
Yes.
I want you to change your attitude with Reverend Sunshine. I want you to be the man who I know you can be. Show the others a little kindness and respect.
The others?
Philip, don't play dumb. You know who I mean.
But I just can't suddenly like somebody when I don't genuinely like them.
Then act like you like them. That'll be good enough for me.
I don't know if I'm that good of an actor.
For your sake, Philip, it had better be an Oscar-winning performance, because if not, I'm on the next plane to New Jersey.
Okay, I'll try, but it won't be easy.
Do you promise?
Yes, I promise. Because in spite of everything, nothing means more to me than you do. If I were a leopard, I'd change my spots for you.
Oh, Philip, those are slightly poetic and somewhat romantic words. Is this your way of humoring me?
Yes, ma'am. How's it working?
I'll let you know after dinner.
Tina Killeen as Ivy Julian and Randy Offner as Philip Julian. And we've heard also Kevin Blanford as River. And Cynthia McIntyre is Mitzi Cheshire with the director of The Trouble with Cats, Patty Beerley, and her assistant director, Stacey Brassey. It's put on by the Rental Theater Group starting this Friday, running through the 20th, Friday and Saturday shows. Curtain is at 8, and Sunday matinees curtain is at 2 p.m. And for information on The Trouble with Cats and other shows at the Ranchel Theater Group this season, go to rtgonline.com. And I want to say thanks to all of you for coming over and joining us on Live and Local today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Support for our show today comes from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in their richly romantic concert with pianist Roberto Plano in Brahms' First Piano Concerto, also Wagner's Tannhäuser Overture and Barber's First Symphony. On Friday, March 11th at Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and Sunday, March 13th at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. Information is at ilsymphony.org. And incidentally, Roberto Plano, the pianist in that concert, will be my guest on tomorrow's Live and Local. Stay tuned for some performances by faculty members of the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana. And we heard some performances of music by Astor Piazzolla for flute and piano here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that's by way of introduction to our next segment, which is with four faculty members at the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana, which is located in the old post office building. They're having a faculty benefit concert and silent auction this Sunday at the Urbana-Champaign Unitarian Universalist Church, which is at the corner of Green and Birch in Urbana, with some nicely varied chamber music, although sometimes you wouldn't think of old-time music as chamber music, but nonetheless it involves a couple or three players or so that it qualifies. The doors will open at 3:30. The concert itself starts at 4 o'clock. And the director of the Community Center for the Arts is with us. She is Robin Kirtan, and has brought along Tom Foe, Dorothy Moderano, and Chris Raymond. We're all on faculty there. Thanks very much for coming in and joining us.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So why don't you give us an overview of this event?
Well, it's a concert that showcases our faculty. And as you said, it's chamber music because it's all small groups of players. And we'll have, we've said it was everything from Vivaldi to banjos and tangos. Basically the first set of the concert will be more focusing on Western art music. We'll have some Vivaldi, a movement from the Concerto in A minor for two violins, and the second movement of that glorious Mozart Sinfonia Concertante, and the finale of the Dvorak American Quartet. And that's the first half. And then we'll have an extended intermission during which people can feast on the table laden with delectable desserts and listen to, I believe, some fine accordion music played by Mr. Raymond over here. And then we'll be back for, and they can, of course, bid on the silent auction items.
Of course.
Which are numerous and interesting. We can tell you a bit more about those later. And then the last half, we'll have banjo fiddle duets and tangos and finish up with some klezmer music, and it will be a fun afternoon for everyone.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And we do have one of those banjo players with us.
Tom is on
banjo, mm-hmm. And Dorothy has her fiddle or violin, depending upon what she's going to be playing, and Robin has both fiddle, violin, and viola, I guess, depending on what you're going to be playing. And apparently we've transferred some of the piano music to accordion for Chris. He's been on here as a pianist before, and many of our listeners may know him in various guises, both as a tango player with Dorothy in her group called Tangata, do I remember it right? And in various jazz groups, including his own, and so on. Well, why don't we just launch into one of your musical teasers before we talk more about the event?
We would be delighted to tease you a bit, Kevin.
Yeah, I know that, actually. But we'll leave those kind of things off the show.
Well, since we don't have the full ensemble, we're going to just give you small little appetizer bites of the classical pieces because you can't play the whole thing with only two of us. So Dorothy and I will play just the first phrase or so of this Vivaldi concerto so you can go, oh, that one.
Oh, that really was a tease.
Well, see, after that, it becomes really essential that the other parts fill in, or else
otherwise
we get...
it sounds kind of silly. It's just like one long held note.
Well, what are Chris and Tom sitting here for? I mean, why not have the accompaniment on the banjo?
They could have played.
Okay,
along.
Well, you asked for it,
but you
I
didn't,
did.
You
I did.
Didn't leave us in the hall alone long enough for us to put that one together.
Oh well, okay. Yes,
but
they
we
were
put
practicing
one other
out
thing
in the hall.
Together.
And what will that be? This is the Mozart with accordion?
This is Mozart, yeah. Jan Matthews is going to play the violin, solo violin. This is it's a double concerto for violin and viola. And it's one of the most romantic classical works I know. And it's just glorious. And since Jan isn't here, and since I think that it would be pushing even C4A music limits to have this part played on the accordion, we've arranged for the accordion and Dorothy to accompany the first viola entrance.
All right, so this is going to be Robin Kirtan on the viola and Dorothy and Chris as the orchestra.
Yeah, they're the orchestra.
Exactly. And this was arranged just while we were waiting.
Moments ago.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's
see
how it goes.
We were going to have just Chris accompany it on the piano as the normal kind of group would, but we realized that...
we'd have to retune everything.
Yeah, because the accordion's just a tad sharp, and it'll be more fun this way.
They always are a tad sharp.
I'm looking forward to it.
Unless they're flat. Okay.
I can tell he is. Stop there because that was Jan's entrance and
Where the violin comes
that's
in.
That's where the violin comes back and rescues us.
Well, Dorothy could just do double duty as orchestra and soloist.
Well, she could, but
you didn't have enough time to work that one up. Yeah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, these are really, really short, very teasing snippets of music that you are going to hear if you would go to attend the Faculty Benefit Concert and Silent Auction for the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana, which is happening this Sunday starting at 3:30. With lots of different kinds of music. And the reason that you're having both, as you called it, Western art music, which is what we would normally call classical, but mm-hmm. Western art music, well, that's always, it's very problematic, all these terms for classical music mm-hmm. or for any kind of music. But you also, at the mm-hmm. community center, you don't just teach classical music. You teach traditional music. You actually teach visual arts mm-hmm. at some level. And what all else?
Well, I guess one of our, we do have a sort of drama and dance element coming up in some of our summer programs. And we have, I guess one of our biggest focuses is ensembles, just for both for kids and for adults. Do you want to say anything about that?
So we have what, three major ensembles, the Bodacious String Band, which is sort of our flagship for kids. I think we have 60 young string players in the Bodacious String Band.
Really?
And many of their parents have joined the Marvelous Cretaceous Band, which meets once a week and has been doing so for about a year and a half. And now we have a new ensemble for beginning musicians called what?
Well, the generic word is early childhood music, but I think Kelly's calling it elements of music.
Elements of music, yeah.
So you don't have an equivalent to Bodacious and Cretaceous and... Surely there's
well,
a word.
Well, we're waiting
for
about
that
it.
Word. We're waiting for that word, so let's just send it out as a contest to your listeners.
Yeah. Somebody suggested the Precocious, but it had
precocious
bad...
string.
Well, why not the Precocious String Band?
Yeah, that sounds pretty
sure. No, I think that's a great idea.
Everyone would sign their kids up.
Tyrannosaurus Rexarians probably wouldn't work.
So those are our large ensembles, and we have a number of small ones, and we're developing more jazz combos and rock bands, and this summer we'll be doing a bluegrass band for high school kids. And what all else?
Well, Tom
harps
and
bards and...
Yeah, Tom and Chris are going to do a blues camp, which I'm looking forward to hearing the product of that. Yeah. And we do have some living history and culture camps, so with medieval period and Renaissance period and Scottish and Irish cultures, and then there's a drama scenes reading camp. And
you said that some of the auction items on Sunday have to do with these summer camps.
That's right.
Summer camps.
In addition, we have like some really nice auction items that people have donated, some artwork and gifts and food and all the kind of gift baskets and CDs and the usual fare.
Thing, yeah.
Nice. One of our friends who is a luthier here in town and makes really nice electric guitars donated one of those for the auction. And the raffle item, the large raffle item, is going to be attendance at one of our summer programs. And so if you're a young string player and you want to learn to, by young, I mean too young to go to ISYM, you can come to our classical fine tuner string orchestra camp. And if you don't want to read music, you can go to Bodacious Camp, even if you're a grown-up. And if you want to play the blues, you can go visit Tom and Chris for a week. And then all these medieval camps and all these. And so we're going to raffle the chance to go to one of these camps.
So does the camp being raffled depend on who actually wins the raffle?
Yes. Well, you get to choose the one that you want to go to.
Very nice.
We call them camps, but they're really 1 week intensive music programs.
So no sleeping bags and tents involved.
No, you can leave the tent at home.
No swimming pool.
And the fly dope.
No.
And the matches and the extra space blankets.
We used to do a fake campfire at Bodacious Camp, but
sort of. No, we've eliminated that. No,
I think you
no
just
fires.
Have them sleep in dorms, if I recall.
Or at each other's houses or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's let's have a little more of the musical teasing. What's next in store? I know we heard some tangos being practiced earlier.
So you guys want to do a tango, and then
we could just because of the hour, right? We could do just that much. When did you say?
Sure. Why don't you guys just do one?
We'll go right on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dorothy Mitarano and Chris Raymond here on Live and Local. Thank you. So who wrote that tango, and what's it called?
Monsieur Rodriguez. No.
Monsieur?
I don't know what the M stands for. Michael? Michaelo?
Oh, M. So somebody Rodriguez.
Someone Rodriguez.
And it was played by somebody Martirano, Dorothy Martirano
yeah.
on the violin.
Ms. M.
Ms. Yeah. M. and Chris, Mr. Raymond on the accordion here in Live and Local. And they're going to be among the numerous performers from the faculty at the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana on Sunday afternoon, starting at 3:30, although the concert itself starts at 4. There's a break in there for folks to line up for auction items and raffle items and, of course, have some, what did you call them, delectable desserts off
yeah.
of the...
Off to the fabulous dessert table.
Off the fabulous dessert table. And how does one go about getting into this event?
Well, you can go to our website, www.c-4a.org. And if you go to the contacts section, you'll find a link to the information. Or you could just call our office at 384-5150. That's a 217 area code. Or you can email us at info@c-4a.org.
info@c-4a.org.
And the tickets are $15 for singles, $10 for senior citizens and students, and we have a special family rate for $45. You can bring your whole crowd.
And that's quite reasonable as these events go.
Mm-hmm.
Programming on Live and Local today is made possible by the Danville Symphony Orchestra presenting the history and mystery of England with oboist Andrea Gullickson this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Danville High School Auditorium. More information is available from the Symphony office at 443-5300. Mm-hmm. And let me just mention a few other events you can go out and see and hear the next couple of days. There's a faculty instrumental recital at Millikan University with oboist Tina Nicholson and sax player Perry Rask. That's tonight at 7:30 at Kuiper Hall on the Millikan campus in Decatur. The U of I University and campus bands are at the Kranert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. Louder and Manning play folk music at the State House Inn in Springfield tonight at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, it's the Academy for Ancient Music of Berlin playing Baroque music tomorrow night at the Kranert Center in Urbana at 7:30. It's Midsummer Night's Dream. It's a Bacchanal opening tomorrow night at 7:30, rather continuing tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Kranert Center. And the Young Dubliners are at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington tomorrow evening at 7:30. And finally, Solid Gold Cadillac is put on by the Community Players Theater in Bloomington tomorrow through Saturday at 7:30. Lots of other things going on, but that's what we have time for. And we got to get Tom Foe involved here. You brought your banjo along.
No,
might as well play it.
Well, speaking of the mysteries of England.
Yes.
Nice segue.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to play a tune from the Playford Dance Master.
This is an old English tune, 15th century English tune called Mr. Isaac's Maggot.
Okay, I have to ask, what does maggot mean in this context? I've always wondered. Do you know?
In the early years of neural research, it was believed that flights of creative...
Neural, like brain and nerves and stuff?
That's the only kind of neural I can think of.
All right. I didn't know if there was some other word that I didn't know about.
It was thought that moments of creative fancy were actually caused by maggots in the brain. And so there was in the early 1500s, there was a raft of pieces like this called maggots, named after people, Lord Byron's maggot and so forth, Lady Betsy's maggot. This one's Mr. Isaac's maggot.
So the idea was that these are effusions from the brain, from the brains of these people
from
caused
actual,
by maggots.
Yeah, actual organisms crawling in and out of your
All right
gray
then.
Matter. So
I
it's,
should
sort
have
of,
known,
it's the equivalent of a caprice, I guess.
I should have known that a musicologist would know the answer to a question like that.
Mr. Isaac's maggot. Thank you.
Can I assume safely that that would have originally been played on a lute? Most likely?
Possibly. It's dance music. It's English dance music from the early 1500s, so whatever they were
probably not
playing,
on a banjo.
Most likely not a banjo.
Likely, no. Yeah.
But it certainly worked. I mean, it actually makes it sound like newer music somehow.
This is as old-timey as it gets, actually.
Yeah. Beyond pre-old-time music. Exceedingly old-time music.
Yeah.
Good time music. It's still good time music. Yeah. Will there be opportunity for people to dance to music like that during the program Sunday?
There's a fairly wide aisle, I think, in this church. We're not going to dance, but...
But you won't discourage people from doing it.
We won't.
If they wanted to, it would be okay.
No restraint.
But why don't you guys gear up for something that maybe involves the four of you to take us out? I think maybe you were talking about that. As I say that this has been Live and Local today, and we'll be back tomorrow with a show that includes pianist Roberto Plano, who's playing with the Illinois Symphony this weekend. And we have support for our show from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. And this is Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. And we have with us Robin Kirton, who is director of the Community Center for the Arts, with fellow faculty members Tom Foe on banjo, Dorothy Martirano on violin, and Chris Raymond on accordion, although he normally plays a bit more piano than accordion. And there, among the numerous performers, are going to be at the Faculty Benefit Concert and Silent Auction at the Urbana-Champaign Unitarian Universalist Church in Urbana this Sunday. Doors open at 3:30. The concert starts at 4, and it'll go until about
6-ish. By 6, we think everything will be wrapped up.
And for more
information, announcements will have been made and the prizes given out.
Yeah. Of course. And for more information, you can go to c-4a.org. What's it going to be?
Now? Silueta Porteña.
Another tango on Live and Local.